Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ash Millman.
Hello.
And Ewan Patterson.
Hello.
Ewan's very ill, but he's come in.
That's not my actual voice. I'm just very bunged.
He was a very bunged up man, but he's doing very well.
Emphasis on the N and the G.
Bunged. A little bit. Yeah. There's another E3 in the bag, in the can, in the history view mirror.
What?
Yeah. History view mirror?
It's done now.
What those things those cars have.
You know what I mean?
Historical review mirror.
It's been a long few days, but we have a whole bunch of videos and and a whole bunch of different podcasts. So rather than just going over everything that was there, let's delve into all the stuff that wasn't there, because we had a whole bunch of rumors and leaks and things that looked like they were going to be a dead cert to show up at E3, and then they just didn't. So we've rolled together five selections, five from each of us, and we're just going to run them down. So I'll start with Beyond Good and Evil 2. I thought that would be one of the things that Ubisoft would either lead with or end with. And one of the reasons that I really thought Ubisoft dropped the ball on their conference was that they didn't have anything to end on. Mm. They sort of just showed Gods and Monsters, and then they cut to like an esports thing.
That was
thing.
Grim. They wheeled out Eve and everything. And I love Eve. I love a bit of
Eve. Game was brilliant.
But like, you know, you had the Just Dance dances earlier on, and then you're bringing out Eve, and like, that's what else you got in your arsenal.
Reaching.
It's just, it was weird. They started with Watch Dogs Legion, which looked really good. That was one of the only games that had a gameplay demo. Helen Killer Grandma, retired assassin, feeding the birds and then feeding the bodies. All the way through. Don't feed the bodies.
Let the
you create the bodies.
Hit the floor.
She did. And it was brilliant. It was a good thing.
I want to see that edit now.
But I thought, considering that, I mean, beforehand, they did sort of announce that they were going to do a live stream for Beyond Good and Evil. And they did like a little thing about a week beforehand. But all they had then was a selection of concept art sketches, which were fine. Just stills, though. They didn't have any gameplay. So although that was maybe to satiate the E3 need, I thought they would have something else. But where are you guys on Beyond Good and Evil? I thought it was like, it was big enough for it to be there.
Yeah, I thought that would have been their driving force of their conference because that's what everyone is most hyped for from Ubisoft. Like, it's
give me more
good.
Swearing monkeys and jetpacks.
I mean, it's good.
The first gameplay that they showed off the other year was very conceptual, I want to say. It was very, very early on in development, but I still expect, you know, it's been a whole other year. Like, you would expect to see at least more coming out, because last year they had the Joseph Gordon-Levitt talking about the different things they wanted to introduce, and I don't know if that has potentially, because they had to restructure that slightly, or there were people addressing the concerns of the way that his, I forgot what his studio is called, but the one that was going to feed fan art into the game itself.
Yeah.
And there was some sort of backlash towards that. Very disappointing that it's not appeared, and I think, it's very weird. It was a very weird conference. It was just like, we had a few Tom Clancy things. Going to show you a weird single player Rainbow Six thing that isn't really a single player thing and is more kind of a DLC thing.
Yeah.
But whatever. I don't know. Beyond Good and Evil 2 not being there really, really...
I still think that considering
the... Didn't be my soft.
Yeah.
No, at all.
Made me... Ubisoft.
Good. It made all of us. All of us were a bit soft about that. Can't make that work. But yeah, I mean, considering that when it was first shown, they were like, apparently they announced it on stage and everything. And then back at I forget the name of the dude that's the lead director, which I should know the name of. Back at his house, apparently he was still sitting around and they referred to it as day zero of development. And it's like, well, you're announcing it before you have anything at all. And then they've sort of had like tech demos since then. But whatever. I kind of expected something that would confirm at least what that game's going to be.
Yeah, just a bit of like photography, like even if it was like Jay taking some pictures. I know she's evil and stuff now, but a little bit of snapshot.
Even that, why is she evil?
Mr. Page coming out, being like, come on, uncle, let's see ya.
I wanted him to be called Page. I have since 2008.
Yeah.
Just, you know, retcon it.
Just a little update from the developers would have been nice. Yeah, we're still working on it. Don't worry about us. Everything's good.
Speaking of updates from developments and things that would have been nice, Ash, yours was Elder Scrolls 6 / Starfield.
It's always Elder Scrolls 6.
Yes.
It's always Elder Scrolls 6. I've said the same thing twice because it's so important. But no, yeah, that I... They said it wasn't going to happen. They kept saying it wasn't going to happen. That's what they would say.
Which
planted that seed of hope deep in my chest that they were just trying to like ruse us, like give us all a little foolery and then bring it out at the end and be like, yo, here's a confirmed location because that's all that we actually need.
Which you'd assume they have at this point.
Yeah, like just literally because last year was that whole Elder Scrolls 6 announcement with the picture of the zooming in on what looks like Hammerfell and Daggerfall and all that sort of place. You'd have thought that they would just be like, okay, we can't show you anymore. It's really early development. Blah, blah, blah. Nerds. And then
us.
Yeah, exactly. And then actually dive into being like, okay, this is the confirmed place because the amount of hype and spiraled off stuff that would get, like, I would be satiated for like 6 years waiting for it,
plus,
just knowing where it was going to be.
Considering how empty Bethesda's conference was and considering they had Fallout Battle Royale and everyone's like, what the hell are you guys doing with your first party
maybe
stuff?
Maybe there's a conspiracy here. Maybe they were like readjusting all their assets so that the next Elder Scrolls would have Battle Royale and they were waiting on there and said, hey, you want Elder Scrolls Battle Royale?
I don't know if I would take Elder Scrolls Battle Royale. No, you wouldn't.
It's called Arena and that is already a thing.
Like,
so
that's what they would call it. They would just call it Elder Scrolls Arena and they would do
the
that again. Just reboot it.
We don't need it again.
Battle Royale it.
We got a few brief glimpses of Blades.
Oh God, Blades can do one. Blades is terrible, and then now it's on the Switch.
Yeah, it's just Elder Scrolls 6 not being there is like this. It's high key. I know it's because it's going to be on the next gen, but even so, it's
still,
like, you know, it's your flagship. At this point, it is their flagship franchise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. More than Fallout, because at the state that Fallout is in currently, I don't want to mince words, but it is not good.
Apocalyptic.
And like, so yeah, the fact that
apocalyptic.
There you go. We did it. The joke because it's a post apocalypse anyway. But I don't know. Why isn't it not there? Like again, it's another case of like they didn't have to show anything. They could have just been like, we're still doing it, we're acknowledging its existence, but meanwhile we're going to try and redeem Fallout 76 because we spent a lot of time on that and it's really bad.
I think the industry's in a weird point with general hype and expectation and showing games way too early. Obviously, like, there is that sort of thing of like, how early do you show something to try and maximise the hype and then cash in on that and, you know, whatever. And obviously there's a whole bunch of PR firms trying to maximise that particular curve. And I think that even showing the logo last year, you've started that momentum, and if you don't then follow up on it, it is just kind of weird and empty.
100% agree. That's the thing. Because they have seeded it, they need to continue watering that little seed and like carrying on with it. They can't just go, whoa, this is happening. Hang on for another decade, please.
For 5 years.
But yeah, Starfield as well, which obviously is going to come first, which is even more exciting because it's their first new IP in 25 years.
It's like, about time, to be fair.
You'd have thought that they would be all over that as well. Like just saying, okay, it's coming. Literally, all I need is someone wearing the horn helmet, walking out going... and then walking back in, that would have been fine.
Just jazz hands.
Yeah, and then for Starfield, like, I don't know, a little spaceship in the sky. I don't know. I just want to see some more.
Starfield's a weird one because that's been rumored for years. But like, when it finally got confirmed, it was like, okay, assuming that you guys have always had some assets for this, or the general idea of where it's going to go, and then just nothing again. Mm. But like Todd Howard did say that it's going to be the same engine that Fallout 4 was again, or Fallout 76 was again.
It's creation and stuff in it. Yeah.
Yeah, but you'd assume that would mean the development could move faster on it, but then not even a mention of it.
For the mods, baby. Let the mod people.
Make our own Starfield. You and you have down Batman?
Yes, because, you know, I just got to get an obligatory Batman comment in there at one point or another. Mm-hmm. It's weird to me. Warner Brothers showing at this year's E3 was very, very piecemeal, I want to say. Not to say that I'm not excited about the fact that they've announced a massive Lego Star Wars collection, which is going to have all 9 films of the saga, which is really cool if they get rid of the really bad split screen that gives me bloody nausea.
The weird side wipe
thing.
Whoa,
I can't see what's going on. It's really annoying. Mm. But yeah, no Batman. It's very weird. I know a lot of people were focusing on Rocksteady going into this E3, and they put out a statement themselves saying that they wouldn't be there.
Like a week before, though.
But to be fair, Warner Brothers Montreal, I know they've been working on something for literally yonks now, and they mentioned before the conference that they wouldn't be there as well, which is a big disappointment because they've been working on something for a while. They've got a really talented studio up in Montreal. They're doing some really interesting stuff. Yeah. But like, I think at this point, it's been, again, just to hammer home the point, it's been... 4 years since Arkham Knight came out. It's been 6 years since Arkham Origins came out.
And a decade since Arkham Asylum.
And in that time, Spider-Man PS4 has released, and the Avengers project is releasing next year. Mm-hmm, boom, just like that. And I know Marvel's Avengers was announced like a few years ago. They had that brief little CGI trailer, but at least they had a trailer. We have not had anything apart from some leaked concept art and some dev team t-shirts, and it's very, very weird.
And
that they're not concerned about the lack of a presence.
Yeah.
You know, I know everyone would go out and buy Arkham immediately again, but to make sure the brand is still strong, you at least want to be seeding, like, you know, little bits here and there, being like, Batman Arkham is still a thing, please care, like, you know what I mean?
I wonder if they don't want to commit to anything at all because they're terrified that things might get cancelled again, but, like, the leaked concept sketches showed the potential Court of Owls thing, and, like even if you did a tease like that, what you said about the Elder Scrolls type tease, even if you just had a silhouette of Batman or something, and, you know, you do what Nintendo do and go, a sequel is coming eventually.
They could have just had an owl fly out.
A Court of Owls, you might say.
Yeah. Like, three owls just going, woo.
And then that. You could come pet the owls, three owls.
No, what are they trying to say? Yeah. And then eventually it would be that. But yes, the next thing down I have is Metroid Prime 4, which can be quite a quick one, which, I mean, I know why this wasn't there. It's because they restarted development on it. Apparently Nintendo weren't very happy with the version they were putting together. So they gave it to, I think they're called Retro Studios, who did the original Metroid Prime games. Mm-hmm. And apparently that was just a complete restart. They came out and did a whole apology video for it a few months back. But I thought they would have something. I just thought they might have, I don't know, it's always that thing where it's weird because I'm mentioning the whole hype cycle.
An apology video?
You know what I'm saying?
Only big YouTubers do that.
No. Nintendo, very respectful. Very, really nice, honest video where they were just, they did bows, they apologized. They were like, we're really sorry, we're going to have to restart development. Mm. And they pretty much just asked forgiveness from the fans. It was very respectful.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah, that was a couple of months back. But yeah, because they've restarted development, I kind of just thought that they would do something to say, like, here's the features we're aiming for or whatever. Because Metroid just hasn't really been mentioned this generation at all, but it is. Yeah. You know, it is like an old...
It's like, where?
Yeah,
where?
And it's like, it's such a worthwhile franchise. The last meaningful installment was on 3DS, like 2-3 years ago. So I kind of just wanted more Metroid. Do you guys like Metroid? Go on. Don't you like the little... With the ship and the... And the suit getting turned into a ball.
My experience of Metroid was playing Star Wars Republic Commando because I had the same hood. It counts.
Oh, they're so young, audience. They're so young.
My experience is just going, Samus.
Samus is cool. Ash, your next one down.
What is it? I can't read.
Oh, you had Beyond Good and Evil. Oh, yeah. You got
Session
some,
is the next
do
one.
Do some Session. You
Beyond
should do
Good
some
and Evil
session.
Was also one I was hyped about, but we spoke about that. So yes. Session was the next one, which is by...
I don't know what that studio is. It's meant to be, it's like Creature Studios with a space in between Crea and Chu.
Yeah.
So it's like Creature Studios.
Creature.
Do you want some Creature, Ewan?
Enough of that.
No.
Right now.
From now till it releases, to be honest, and probably a few months after that.
Don't even encourage them. Don't even give them encouragement. They know what they're doing with that little hyphen. They know what they're doing.
Creature
Source. But yeah, that's supposed to be coming soon. Like, there's supposed to be beta, alpha, something, first gameplay things coming around soon, and basically they said, oh, we're not going to be there because we need to knuckle down on development and we'll put ourselves behind if we try and do a big E3 thing,
which is
really fair enough, but also it's spiritual sequel to Skate 4. Give us some, please.
It's like they've literally said it's inspired by the golden age in gaming history of skateboarding games, which is obviously the Tony Hawk skate like bubble from the end of the 90s to the early 2000s, which was brilliant.
I only want to play this game for the soundtrack. The inevitable soundtrack that comes out, I just want to just pretend.
I hope they come
Heaven
forward.
And a half pipe. I want real big fish. I want all the Scar. I want all the old pop punk. I basically want Kerrang from 2005.
Yeah, totally. I want Papa Roach.
I can skate, baby.
Give me Blood Brothers by Papa Roach. But yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. They didn't show up, but during the EA Play stream, everybody was just posting like skate. Yeah. And apparently, if you go on like Google Trends and just search Skate, that the search traffic for Skate has been spiking for most of this year. It always feels like they're on the cusp of doing a new one, and they never do. I'm not sure if EA have just moved away from it altogether because I guess the scene just isn't there anymore.
Maybe we have actually all died and we're not in heaven because we can't skate.
Oh God!
No, but in heaven you can skate.
No, but maybe we're not in heaven. That's the thing.
Oh, I see what you did. We've come down to a hellish EA scape where there's never going to be skate ever again.
Can't spell heaven without EA.
Oh no, that was terrible. And I hate
terrible,
it.
And yet it completely fits. Yeah, that's a bad time.
Oh, God.
But yeah, Session seems to be like just the answer to Skate. I don't know if you guys ever preferred Tony Hawk's or Skate. I really liked what Skate was trying to do.
Like
they sort of semi-realistic.
My only experience, I played the Tony Hawk games. My only experience of Skate was watching the compilations on YouTube of people injuring themselves
in
really
horrendous
fashion.
The Hall of Meat was so good.
But I never played Skate.
To end this skating point, which Tony Hawk's is the best Tony Hawk's? People who are younger than me. Because I think you'll say...
Underground.
Interesting.
Two?
Two, is objectively the correct answer. Yeah. I would just say two. I was going to say, usually there's a generational shift where people younger say three. Mm. But,
I'm going to go two.
Two's got Rage Against the Machine on.
Yeah.
So, yes. You and your next game, please, sir. Shaboosh.
Oh, is Harry Potter?
Yeah, Harry Potter.
Magic Awakened. Very weird that that's not... We've not heard anything from that. And I think
even though gameplay leaked.
That's the thing, is that the interest... The bizarre thing about this is that they had the gameplay leak. They then went on a massive YouTube-like annihilation wave.
Yes,
our video got taken down. Yeah.
And It's weird. They've already the gameplay that was shown, even though it was kind of taken off like camera, it wasn't like screen crap. It was very much like, you know, this is someone recording footage of a screen somewhere. The fact that they've not gone ahead and shown anything is it's peculiar.
Yeah.
And like the fact that Warner Brothers decided to come out to E3 just to show Lego. I mean, I don't want to demean Lego.
What
Star
do you mean,
Wars.
Just
like I don't want to demean Lego or anything.
No, totally.
Like,
it feels
like if you're going to go to E3, you're setting up shop to show up different games.
Yeah. Mm.
And the fact that Harry Potter isn't there, you know, I think the Fantastic Beasts trilogy is coming to a close. Is it next year? It's 2020. The next one.
Hopefully. It's got like five. Yeah. It's got five films, so it's not coming to a close.
I've not been keeping
soon.
Up with them, but I am interested in Warner Brothers actually making good use of their license in the non J.K. Rowling-y retconny way.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know if it could be. I know Rich is very excited about this game.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know, it's weird. Again, it's another case of I'm very, very concerned about Warner Brothers because going back to Batman, we had loads of cancellations, we had loads of talk about developmental issues. Warner Brothers went to go, they had the Suicide Squad game, they had the Damian Wayne Batman game, and they've moved on to this. We don't know what Rocksteady are doing. Communication seems to be not a strong point for them.
No.
And even after Shadow of War, we don't know what Monolith are up to either. So it's a very peculiar time at Warner Brothers, it seems. And they have all these amazing IPs, but they're just not showing them. Even after a leak, and I know they don't want to bow down to like, oh, this stuff got leaked, so we have to show it. I still think they would have served the game well by maybe officially coming out and saying, yes, we are working on this, yes, you can get excited, because it's the industry is like open secret now. We've had like BBC correspondents come out and talk about it officially, so just come on, just get on with it.
Having that little sprinkle of magic in the EA thing would have been definitely a EA in the E3 thing. They've all got E's in.
I know
there are a lot of E's.
Yeah. A lot of E's going around.
Yeah. Having that in E3 would have been a really nice little nod to everything that's happened with it. Like them just taking ownership of it and going, hey, here it is. Bosh, would have been nice.
I mean, like it's something for Harry Potter that goes hand in hand with Lord of the Rings. And I didn't expect to see the new Lord of the Rings game, which is just a card game, but at least the IP's out there.
Yeah.
You've got this whole other fandom that you can tap into.
I wonder if it's anything connected to Sony, because I know that they showed off the Lego Star Wars stuff at Xbox's conference. There was a brief trailer for that. I do wonder if there's anything going on with maybe like Sony and Warner Brothers there. I don't know. It's very. The way Sony work their exclusivity stuff is very interesting. So they've got stuff with Marvel now, but obviously when Batman Arkham was a thing, they had loads of stuff with PlayStation as well. So I wonder if there's any sort of exclusivity reveal time
some jingles
thingies.
For the PlayStation experience, maybe. I do hope on the Warner Brothers side that they're learning from their mistakes, because Shadow of War was just this weirdly over monetized loot boxy pile, and then they put the easy fatalities into Mortal Kombat, and just, there's lots of things like that where I'm like, I hope
they're doing Mortal Kombat as well.
Yeah, I hope that, I mean, like NetherRealm kind of messed that up with MK11, but I hope that Warner Brothers have, you know, looked like just read the train a little bit and taken a step back.
Maybe they have read the room and gone, well, maybe we were going to come out at E3 this year with same with the old stuff that we're doing, but we've realized, you know, we got everyone's kind of reiterating at this E3 there are no loot boxes, everything's free, you're not going to like pay a win scenarios, and they've just looked at Shadow of War and gone, oh
no,
we were going to ask you to pay for Batarang,
we're going to ask you to pay for your new ones, so we're going to have to go back to the drawing board.
Premium DLC ones. But yes, the next thing down, I just have a general point for the next Xbox, because they did have it there, but it was just still called Project Scarlet, and I know that it's in the super early days or whatever, and Phil Spencer did say it's coming next year alongside the reboot of Halo or Halo Infinite, or Halo Infinite. But just considering the amount of things that have leaked out, and they've literally talked about the two SKUs, like the Anaconda and the Lockhart or whatever.
Don't want none.
No, they don't want none. They just want to tease you with it and tell you that it's coming next year.
They don't have the buns, huh?
Turns out they ain't no baker. No. They ain't got no buns. That's the worst thing I could have said, but I planned that ahead of time. But yeah, I just thought that they would have something more specific than just this weird teaser thing, because they had a whole bunch of devs talking about the technical side of it, and they said, you know, we're going to prioritize removing load times, we're going to prioritize 8K and 120 frames per second and whatever, but then no form factor, no console, no logo, no nothing other than a project.
Yeah, no, did it not even have like an official release either? It's just it's coming soon.
It's coming next year.
Seemed like it was definitely a case of like, well, we know Sony are going to announce theirs, so we might as well just announce our now, if we're not as far, I don't know, it's very weird. I just get into this 8K hole of just nonsense.
I just got a 4K TV,
I don't care. Like, no. I'm game for the next generation. That's a completely different conversation, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's like a case of like maybe they felt that dwelling on it too much would detract from the slate that they had planned, because so much of this was Game Pass oriented. And like, here's what you can do on Xbox One right now, and at the time, there were certain moments where you popped for, you know, Keanu Reeves coming out on stage.
Big,
phenomenal.
Big pop.
But like also at the same time, kind of looking back at it, maybe it was a lot of style over substance, because I'm
it
just there.
Weird,
I'm like the way they were hyping up the technology capabilities of the new Xbox, I was like, okay.
Yeah, cool. And then even like, oh, we're going to do xCloud and we're going to go into streaming, kind of because that's what Stadia is doing. And it's like, oh, but the actual demo of the streaming tech, like we showed Doom being played for a bit, but it's all on the show floor. So it was weird. Like, I still think it was a strong showing, but
I feel like it was weird that we know that there's two, but they only showed one.
Yeah.
Like, just to reiterate all that, like, why? We know there's two.
Yeah,
we know.
I think they're playing their cards very like secretively. I think Sony not being there kind of means that they don't necessarily know what Sony's going to do, which means that they're better off just kind of waiting and then doing it later in the year. We're in a weird year now because we all know that the next gen is like coming very soon, but is it going to be at the very end of this year or the start of next year or whatever? Have kind of have to wait and see. Astro, next thing down, I think, was Fable.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oh, yeah, it is.
The
Sorry.
Big Fables.
I needed to confirm that.
It's on the tiny text on the screen I have.
Yeah. Fable 4.
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
Oh, it doesn't exist
I mean,
yet.
It does, but it's just not here.
Yeah,
so.
Well, we know it's coming. There was a leak before E3, and they were like, why is that not there? Why?
I don't know.
Why? Like, it's another Microsoft thing that they should have just been like, bosh, here
well, maybe
it
that's
is.
What maybe that's the thing, because they were like, we're going to soft reboot Halo, so we have that for the launch of the next Xbox. Maybe they wait.
Who cares? I want Fable 4. That's what I want.
I wanted Fable 4.
Yeah, so Halo or Fable, though?
Fable.
There we go. There's the answer.
Out of the two, Halo.
I mean, this is the thing. It's like I've not owned an Xbox since the 360. I switched over to PlayStation with the current gen, but I love both of those franchises except Fable 3, because Fable 3 is a big
Yeah, well, we don't talk about
Hable.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, that was the thing. I think if they're waiting and they're doing this whole play their cards very slowly kind of thing, then even waiting until next gen might make sense. You launch the new Xbox.
I just hate it. Don't give me the little chunks and then like not actually do deliver the meal. It's like having a little crumb.
The little crumb trail, which ties into Fable 2's quest system, because that's totally what they did. Remember the breadcrumb trail? Remember that? Well, you can't remember it until 2020, so don't keep remembering it. But I think it kind of makes sense for them to do something for next year. But when they got the guy out from Playground Games, because apparently Fable 4 is being created by the Forza devs, I thought that was going to segue into Fable, and it just didn't. It segued into a Lego car.
I mean, to be fair, Lego Forza looks amazing. I was so happy with that. I mean, I can't play it because I have an Xbox, but it was so cool.
Good, but Fable 4 would have been better. All the stuff that they're talking about it as well, like it being you don't actually have to go and do the main quest, you don't have to be a hero, it ties into these things. They want to bring mini games, but I think that's actually just a request that they want mini games.
Yes.
I want mini games as well, but there's supposed to be time travel in it. Maybe.
Well, so the leak was that it's set in the future. Albion's been destroyed. Yeah. There's been a big meteor that crashed into the earth, and then
wishing from the tower, isn't it?
Yeah, the spire. Yeah. So it's like our heroes get like separated, like they go to a different planet, and you're assumedly trying to put Albion back together, kind of from afar, and you're sort of time traveling between these different planets.
Yeah.
That was the big leak, but that nothing came from that.
All they needed, again, another thing that I should have done E3. Another thing that they should have done to seed this. Go look. We know you all know.
We know you all know.
A dog on stage. That's it.
I mean,
the only dog
Tom
there.
Birdsall got his dog out.
Yeah, yeah.
At Ubisoft.
Yeah, yeah, but that wasn't a Fable 4 announcement, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was also the other conference. There's just more dogs.
It kind of looked like John Wick's dog as well.
Yeah, didn't it?
And John Wick was there. So. Yeah,
for a second, there. I thought it was that dog.
Just get him in the same movie.
Probably do a separate dog cast, to be honest. Yeah. But anyway, you and your next game was a thing that made me very sad.
Oh, Splinter Cell.
Yeah, where's that Ubisoft?
Like, every single time.
Why are you laughing at that?
I just love your guys' stress at this whole thing.
Every single time there was a brief, just little flash of green. I was just like, the numbers, Mason.
Every time it's like a flash of green or like the little goggle noises in the background.
It's weird. Again, it just kind of sums up a very, very weird showing from Ubisoft this year. Because it's like we've had since 2013 nothing. I mean, we had Michael Ironside reprise his role in Ghost Recon Wildlands, that brief little DLC. Mm-hmm. And we've had brief snippets.
Splinter Cell was on the Walmart leak last year.
People were like teasing it and like, just come out and show it. I probably just a polygon. That's probably all they have right now, just one polygon. But you showed off, like, you know, Sam Fisher in the app, which
I forgot about that.
Right, that gives me slight encouragement that they still remember him. They still remember Sam Fisher. I'm just, at this point, I'm like, the way that Ubisoft are managing the Tom Clancy franchise is very peculiar to me, because like now it's gone from a position of being these are key games in our library to now that they are at the forefront of our library. You know, we had Assassin's Creed and we have the Tom Clancy series. These are our two main go-getters. Mm-hmm. Siege is amazing. We're constantly supporting that. Ghost Recon is now having a resurgence. We've got Breakpoint coming out. We've got John Bernthal in it. But then we're going to announce a Rainbow Six single-player spin-off that isn't based on the series roots, but it's instead
the
Supernatural, which is very weird, because even though they had the great Outbreak DLC last year, that isn't classic Rainbow Six. I enjoyed it as a DLC, but when you think of Rainbow Six, you think of like classic like counter-terrorism situations, you think of like really detailed, realistic combat, and then you've got Splinter Cell just kind of languishing just nowhere. Mm.
Yeah.
And like, we've got Ghost Recon coming back to its roots, so we have Rainbow Six kind of divesting from its roots. Mm-hmm. Where does that leave Splinter Cell? I'm really curious. I'm very worried that maybe Ubisoft don't know what they're doing with Splinter Cell.
I mean, the thing is, like, because like, I was a huge Splinter Cell fan, like, as all the rumors keep going out, I keep going back to the old games. I've been playing back through Blacklist at the minute. And it is weird going back to that game, because I think that the problem with Ubisoft is that they need everything to be a games as a service. Mm-hmm. So I have recurring spending models. They need all those ways that they can plug DLC and stuff into it. And looking at Splinter Cell, I don't think they can think of a way to do that with that game's mold.
But they do it with the thing that the solution seems so obvious to me is you have the classic single player campaign, but then for the multiplayer Spies versus Mercs, you base it on the Siege model. Mm-hmm. And you have you have the different heroes, and then you monetize it that way because it's still free. But I don't know, it's very weird. I have no valuable perspective to offer because I'm completely sitting outside of here.
Yeah.
But I'm just, again, it's just kind of frustrating that Ubisoft seem to be kind of picking and choosing what they want from the Tom Clancy brand. And if there is a Tom Clancy brand, make it consistent. Why are you throwing in zombies and stuff? Just make it like a consistent thing. If this is you want this to be your pseudo-realistic military franchise, commit to that and have Sam Fisher at the forefront, because he is an icon of the gaming medium.
Yeah.
And it would be very weird to have, like, you know, 6 years go by and have no Master Chief. It'd be very weird to have, like, 6 years go by and have no hooded Assassin's Creed guy or Mario.
Yeah.
And I don't think they potentially understand the recognizability of Sam Fisher.
Yeah, even speaking to the Tom Clancy point, like, he helped make the Tom Clancy brand matter across the 2000s, like, obviously alongside Rainbow Six and stuff. But yeah, I forgot about that Elite Squad thing, so they did bring Sam Fisher back, but he's in this, like, stupid app where it's him and a bunch of military men doing stuff that no one cares about. But yeah, it was a weird show, and considering the teasers beforehand. And especially in retrospect with that tease from Julian, I think he's called Julian Guerrette, the French dude, who like did the creative director, who tweeted saying like, hey, working on the next Splinter Cell. And it was just a joke. And it's like, that's not a funny joke
mean.
For anyone. That's just mean. I thought that was
I thought my jokes were bad.
Yeah, I thought it was going to feel like a thing that would lead into something. The last one I've got down, because we're almost out of time, we can pretty much just end on this if you want to, was the overall lack of gameplay. Because that just seems to be an overall talking point.
What we haven't spoken about of games is
Cyber.
Sony. You won't really talk about
Sony's not even there.
I know, but that's a really important thing.
Literally got Captain Phillips then.
Yes.
Look at you and I'm the captain now.
I know, I'm just taking over. Go on then, what's your point?
I wanted to see it. I wanted to see it E3.
But it's not going to be there.
I wanted them to be there.
It is weird that they did sit this one out, although when you look back at how much wasn't there, it kind of makes sense. Like Josh made the joke on yesterday's Ubisoft wrap-up that they pretty much won E3 by not being there.
Yeah.
But I can almost agree with.
Just no Ghost of Tsushima. I loved the guy coming out with his little pipe last year, just going like doing a little... not doing Death anything Stranding. Bad, but you know, just with his little pipe, and then like, you know, no Ghost of Tsushima. It's like I don't want E3 to become this insignificant date in the gaming calendar.
True.
And I feel as though there has been a bit of a pushback from fans this year. You know, E3 is like Christmas. It's Christmas video games, and you know, leaks are leaks, but no one wants to get that spoiled for them. And at the same time, you think that the industry should respect that. And it's weird that there's. I know people want to announce games on their own terms and stuff, and they feel obliged to announce times with the E3 calendar and stuff. But I feel as though this year has been such like a disappointing year for E3.
It's strange.
Sorry,
I can feel it.
Stop dying,
Ash. I'm trying to repress it.
This is what you get for interrupting the schedule, okay?
I'm contaminating everyone in this room right now.
So we can wrap this back around to gameplay, because one thing that Sony's known for is doing elongated gameplay trailers, especially recently with The Last of Us 2.
Yes.
But to bring that back into what we got this year, pretty much every conference, minus Square Enix and Nintendo, only did CG trailers. For as much as that stuff serves, you know, like maybe it just serves the shareholders in terms of showing, you know, we still have like a good lineup coming in the future. No one remembers CG trailers. You just don't. It's not a thing. So I thought that was a bit weird. But I don't know, what do you guys think in terms of like, were you still excited to see games in general? Because I still reacted to Cyberpunk 2077. It's only now when I think back on it where I'm like, actually, there was very little there.
I personally back a good CG trailer.
Oh, Ashman!
Like, as in, I like getting the feel of a game. I like being able to see it and know what's coming. I like them for reveals. Like, if I'm having a reveal, I just want like a lovely CG trailer and be like, oh my god, okay, this is coming, and then have the gameplay like shown afterwards. I was gonna say seeded again, then I realized I said seeded like 500 times.
Seeds.
But I quite like having like because I love cinema so much, though, seeing it as like a trailer I find really appealing. So I'm like, I'll know if I want to play that or not. Whereas I know lots of other people, it's right down to I want to see the gameplay first.
I think the issue with Cyberpunk is the fact that we've seen so little gameplay, and the gameplay that they did show off, like the brief snippet where he's on the bike riding around, that looked really cool.
Yep.
I want to see more of that. There's no point. I totally agree with you. I love a good CGI trailer when they're revealing a game for the first time. It's a great way of like, you know, setting the tone, and you have this like big kind of epic thing going on. But when you've done a CGI trailer last year and the year before and the year before that, and you come to E3, it's like, you got another CGI trailer.
That's more.
It's like
fake stuff.
Okay.
I like the like speaking to this the cinematography side of it. I do always love that they do like the mystery reveal where they sort of go like, oh, what are we building to? What's this thing in the distance? What's
you
this going to be?
This, actually, you know, go the Blair Witch game. I thought for the first 2 minutes of it, I thought it was an Alan Wake sequel.
That's what Jules thought it was. Yeah, yeah. And then we thought it was maybe an Outlast 3. Yeah. And then when it was eventually, that took till the very end. Although I kind of got it from the guy dying in the corner of the Blair Witch. But then zooming out, realizing what it is. Nintendo did that with their Zelda reveal. Like, you know, you slowly seed it and then reveal a character. It's like there's kind of an art to that stuff when it's done well.
I was impressed by the 30 seconds of gameplay that was in the Avengers game, because that was nice. They only had to they showed how the way I liked how they did gameplay in that trailer was, I know it wasn't a lot of it, but they showed the power of the technology, because like it was hard to distinguish between what was a cutscene and what was actual gameplay itself. And it looked as though everything was rendered in engine, and that the transition from cutscene to gameplay was somewhat effortless.
I
really liked that, and I was kind of confused with the backlash that got, because even though it was marginal glimpses of gameplay, it was still like, wow, this is actually really impressive. The gameplay, well, the graphics for a start looked really impressive, but the fact that they can kind of just chuck gameplay into the mix, and you're kind of being like, well, what's that gameplay? I find that really impressive.
No,
that
man,
kind of a testament to the technology and where it's at currently.
I thought that what they showed for that looks phenomenal. Like, I'm kind of all in. Like, obviously some costume qualms and things they can fix going forward, but like the general showing that, again, that was just Square Enix just laying the mic down and then Nintendo doing the same. It was a good showing. Yeah. But so those are all our sort of missed games from E3 2019. Let us know what you think down in the comments below, or come find us on social media. For now, though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ash Millman.
Goodbye.
And Ewan Patterson.
Bye.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.